25 people there. We transformed out in a refugee center, and we had some other rooms, our Sunday school classroom. So we hosted at one point 74 people. So over that whole period, we provided, 7,000 nights for people. I think the total number was about under 500, but the total number of nights. And then we also, as you know, we help by sending parcels. We send many, many lorries of parcels, especially in the southern part in Odessa. So thank you for being part of that and for praying for that. And we want to welcome you and to invite you to also visit our church and our country. Romania is actually a beautiful country, and your part of it, of the UK, is very, very beautiful. So I think it's not that far after all. I also would like to bring you greetings from the Baptist World Alliance. I'm involved with the Baptist World Alliance, and I have two prayer requests. One is for Ukraine, where we would like to have peace. I think in both situations, it's about peace. The war is really an unjust war, which is led by Russia, but we pray for peace, and especially for the situation of brothers and sisters there, but other people. But also in Israel, we pray for peace. You know, there is in Romania, not many people know, I don't know whether you know here, there is actually a Baptist convention in Israel, which is 100 years old. And it has 17 churches. All the members are Arabs, and three of the churches are in Israel as such. Like one is in Nazareth, and I know some people there. And the other 14 are in the Palestinian territories, and one, a small church, is actually in Gaza. So let's pray for them as well, not just for them, but especially since they're brothers and sisters, but also for everybody there. So thank you for the invitation, and I would like to turn now to the Word of God. And I start with a mistake I made. There were two other verses that I forgot to send, because when Jesus replied to the educated man about foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head, another disciple said to him, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." I understand that one of the themes you have this year, it's about discipleship. So I wanted to reflect on that together with you. There is a photo here. This is from Bay Village in Ohio, where on October 12, 2020, a person called the emergency services about a homeless man sleeping on a bench in front of St. Barnabas Church. Well, in fact, it wasn't a living person, but as you can see, it's a statue. And it was a Canadian sculptor, Timothy Schmaltz, who made a life-size statue of a homeless man sleeping on a bench and covered with a blanket. And in that community, there were not homeless people like we may see in bigger cities. So it alerted people, they called the ambulance and so on. If you look closely at the statue, you can see that the man's feet have nail marks on them. And actually, you can sit at the feet of this statue and rest and put your hands on the feet of this man who represents Jesus. The sculptor wants to draw attention to the fact that Jesus can also be found outside the church, even though we are often tempted to look for him only in the church. And he can also be found in places where there is a need to minister, which is one of the reasons for his coming. In the so-called Christian countries like ours and also like yours, there is a real danger that we start to look for Jesus only in places where we think he can be found, according to our expectations, according to our own theology, sometimes becoming ideology. However, I really believe that God is free. And Jesus being God, he will be found where he chooses himself to show himself to us. God is God, and he is free, and he chooses to reveal himself to us. The presence of a homeless person has become an image we get accustomed to in big cities, but it remains kind of strange in a village, for example. And we may be tempted to say that Jesus' reference that the Son of Man has no one to lay his head may be a reference to that. Again, reading the Bible through our own expectations. But actually, in this context, it's about discipleship. Jesus is telling these two people who are trying to follow him about discipleship. And from our text, we learn that the two people who met the Savior, one was an educated man, a scholar, who wants at all costs, we learn, to follow Jesus. And the second is a disciple whom the Savior asks to follow him, but he tries to find the excuse to delay that. And Jesus' answer reveals how he understands that discipleship should take place and how disciples should follow. And maybe reflecting on this may help us. We can get rid of the photo. It's enough. We live in a world that is fascinated with leadership. And in the last 50 years, there's been a big industry in education. There are formal programs. You go and do an MBA, or there are less formal executive leadership programs. And it seems that it hasn't helped much. You know, if you look at leaders in politics, sometimes we wonder where leadership was learned. But if you look at leaders in industry, even there you have a lot of problems sometimes. So leaders are really hard to find, and good leaders are even harder to find. So we tend to admire strong leaders, and it seems that the stronger the leader, the more we admire them, and sometimes for the wrong reason. But a real good question is, and a real good reflection is, that there are no leaders without followers. So if you want to have a leader, you must have, in fact, followers. There is a famous book of leadership by a woman who teaches at Harvard, Barbara Kellerman, and the famous book is called Followership. Because in the end, if you want to see the results of a leader, you can measure them in their followers. But the question for us is, why follow Jesus? Why follow, first of all, but why follow Jesus? The experience of following someone in life is, in fact, common to all of us. We start out when we are little or young. We follow our parents, our brothers and sisters, then our teachers, people we admire. Later in life, we follow personalities, politicians, fashions, ideas, health, safety, now even travel. You know, if you want to travel somewhere, you go on the YouTube or somewhere and follow a famous person who travels all over the place to learn. As Jesus is talking with two people about following him as disciples, we understand that this is a rather practical way of following. It's not an ideological thing. It doesn't just refer to knowing or understanding about Jesus. I think sometimes in our context, we have changed Christianity from a way of living and being to a way of knowing. So we have this assumption that if someone has good theology, automatically their life will be great and there will be beautiful people, wonderful people. I have nothing against good theology. I think we all should have the best theology and biblical good theology. But just having good theology does not translate automatically in good lives. And we have many examples of leaders who had excellent theology, but their lives in the end failed at living up those expectations. We have a saying in Romanian which I like. It says that life always beats movies. Life is always more exciting than movies. And it's so true. you know, I think you say in this language, you cannot make this up. You know, this is what happens. Christian life, it's about living, not just about knowing about Jesus. We can look, for example, at a person building a wall, or welding a metal fence, or cooking a meal. I'm amazed how many nice things Vanel can do with his hand. It's amazing. I was an engineer, and I learned, and I even worked for 3 years, so I can see if something is wrong in my area, but I cannot do it because I have never actually done it. If you want to build a wall, you have to. You can read as many YouTube things about the wall, unless you put bricks and mortar and you learn how to do it and go by someone who knows how to do a wall, you'll just always know about walls, but you'd never do, even with cooking, you know. I can only do an omelette because more than that, I've just not reached that place. If we try to do the same thing, we realize that it takes more than watching and observing. You have to be a disciple. We need to start by becoming a disciple for Jesus if we want that our lives become followers of Christ, in the same way in which we need to be a disciple of a cook if we want to learn how to cook, or of a welder if we want to learn how to weld. And therefore, you actually need a master to become a disciple. There is another thing today, it's become very fashionable to do this do-it-yourself things, you know. In Romania, we have IKEA, I think you might have it here, and you can go and buy a little piece of furniture, and it all comes flat, and you take it home, and you say, oh, I'm not going to pay those £20, I can do it myself. And then 3 hours later, you wish you paid the £30, because you are still cannot find all the screws and all the bits and pieces and cannot put them together. Eventually, it works out, you know. And sometimes we think that Christian life is a bit like that. But like in that case, you cannot put things together really by yourself. We may be tempted to think that you come to church from time to time. That's a good thing. Obviously, we are here because we do this. Then we have to think we read the Bible regularly. That's an excellent thing. Then maybe we combine it with restraining from some things we know Christians shouldn't do, and do some things Christians should do. And there we are disciples. Suddenly we become disciples. All of the above things are good, necessary, and we should try to do it and have the discipline, but without actually becoming a disciple of Christ, they may be just exercises. They may be just things that have not changed and transformed ourselves. And just having a ritual, which is good in itself, it's not sufficient. Disciples always have a master whom they follow. And this was not unusual in the times of Jesus. People followed philosophers. They had the disciples. Craftsmen had disciples who learned from them. Jesus, we hear in the Bible, learned to be a person working with wood. Some of the disciples were fishermen, so they learned how to fish. Discipleship entailed time spent with your master in order to observe, listen, and learn, to understand and to do what the master does. It is to this type of following of being a disciple that Jesus is calling us to, and was calling those to follow. And this is an interesting aspect. We become disciples of Jesus because he calls us to follow him. You see, there are many people who follow Jesus around, especially when he showed the powers of the kingdom. You know, he fed multitudes. He healed people. He cast out demons. So these were visible signs of power, and people are always interested in power. You know, and then people followed Jesus, but not all of them became disciples, because some wanted the popularity. You know, we want to be around someone who is famous, someone who has influence. But people, Jesus is calling these people to follow him. Jesus was a master explaining scripture, and many Jews may have thought, well, he's a nice rabbi, a good rabbi to follow. Maybe he would even be the Messiah because he explains the Old Testament so well. But among those, there was this teacher of the law, and he recognizes the authority of Jesus. And therefore, he says, I will follow you unconditionally. And there was this second person I failed to mention earlier, who Jesus asked to follow him. And this person tries an excuse to delay the process. From their encounter, we learn that we hear Jesus is calling us when he wants us to be his disciples. And of course, we don't meet Jesus as they did. But this morning, this is a kind of a challenge because the word of us calls us to be disciples. We are reflecting on what it means to be a disciple. So this is a kind of question for our lives. Are we willing to be the disciples of Jesus? We know about him. Some of us have been in church all our lives, and maybe we even took some steps. But can we learn something from this encounter of Jesus with these two people that may speak to our situation? Can we allow ourselves to be challenged by Jesus? We need to hear Jesus, for example, how he speaks in John 14:6. There were people who were asking for a way in life. How do they get somewhere in life? And he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know the Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. So for people who are looking for a way in life, Jesus says, I am the way. You know, there is a God, and God has a purpose for you. But if you want to know God, come to me. It is really, therefore, our choice if we follow Jesus or not. It is laid in front of us. It's like, are we going to walk on this road? Are we going to say yes? We all strive to find purpose for our lives. And I think this is a big thing. I work with students, and it's interesting. When I was a student, I was very hopeful in communist Romania. I don't know why, but I thought in my heart of hearts, communists fell in Romania when I was 30, so I finished being student at 24. So in my student years, Western culture was such a magic for me. If you could get a tape, we didn't have, you had the plastic discs and the tapes, you know. With Western music, we would listen to it. If I got a magazine, I would read it back to cover, like Times Magazine. It's an American magazine. I would read everything, including the commercials. So then someone would come and visit and say, oh, have you seen that Sony XD4334 model of a new tape recorder? And people would look at me, what? How do you know about that? Well, it's in Times Magazine. And then when I first came here and I saw that Sony had 20 models, I realized that I was kind of rather daft. But at the time, that was the only thing I had, you know. But I was hopeful because I thought, I was sure in my heart of hearts that communism will fall. I don't know why. And the whole country, we were looking for communism to fail. And it did. Now you look at the young people. There is no hope because there is nothing to fail. The system is not oppressive. It was easier to be a Christian. I'm saying this with caution because the system rejected you if you're a Christian. It was not easy physical because you could not get out of the country, you couldn't do certain things. But there wasn't a choice, should I go to church on Sunday morning or should I go to work and make more money? No, because you couldn't. You were put in a corner, and if you're a Christian and a committed one, you knew that that was a choice, and there was a small price to pay. Even if you're not persecuted, there was a price to pay for it. But now, young people struggle to have a purpose. You look at how many times someone changes their jobs. When I grew up, you know, if you had a job, maybe you change it once in your life then. But if you have a good job, a profession, you build a career out of it. Now, if you look at statistics, young people, every year they change jobs, or in 5 years they change 15 jobs. And I'm not saying it's good or bad, but the world has changed. So purpose now, it's a very important thing. And God is willing to give us a purpose, because God has a purpose for us. He created this world for a purpose. So what Jesus is saying, that if you want to find God's purpose, follow me. By following Jesus as disciples, we help, we get to discover God's purpose and meaning for our existence. God made us for fellowship with him. God made us to be a witness to a world, to the way of life which God thinks the world should have. Not just competitive, not just ignoring the need, not just exploiting others, not just hating others. It's incredible, like the nationalism that we see these days, and Christian nationalism. You know, it's interesting, in Romania, Baptists, because they were a minority, were first persecuted by other Christians. Before communists came, other Christians persecuted Baptists because they didn't want Baptists to, like in this country, but it was long ago, you know, when the established church persecuted Baptists, you know. But that's the point, is that we live in a world that needs good news. And sometimes we forget that the only way we can bring good news is when we are disciples. And I'm sorry to say, but sometimes we have forgotten that God sent us to bring good news. I read a book about a guy, is not a Christian, and he was saying about good news. He said, you know, Martin Luther King Jr., he had his famous sermon, I Have a Dream, that inspired people. And it even became a kind of case study for good speaking. So this guy writes in this book, what if Martin Luther King would have said, I have a nightmare? Who wanted to hear that message? Well, sometimes you hear Christians and it's only nightmares. We have these, you know, evil powers and they'll take over us. And well, if Jesus is Lord and if we are his disciples, what powers? The power of God is present with us, and we are his disciples. So, it's interesting, and I want to draw to a close. You know, Romanians can be a little bit long-winded. If the first question was, why follow Jesus? The question is, how? It's interesting, Jesus says at one point, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. It seems to me that Jesus suggests that discipleship begins with an understanding that we depend more on him than on anything else. Maybe that's what the teacher of the law needed to understand. Maybe he understood many things, but Jesus told him, you have to give up all the comforts because the Son of Man doesn't even have a place where he can lay his head. You have to give up. And then to the other guy, he uses images from nature, you know. Maybe some of the audience could hear Psalm 84, who says, my soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Jesus is putting these images, and the most powerful one I find is when he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Our discipleship needs to connect us to the vine, because without that connection, we die. We wilt away, we will disappear. Therefore, discipleship comes with this recognition of Jesus's, with Jesus's priority in our lives. And this reminds me of a quote from the German theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer, which he says at one point, discipleship cannot tolerate any condition that could come between Jesus and our obedience of him. I'll read this again. Discipleship cannot tolerate any condition that could come between Jesus and our obedience to him. I'm not here to inquire. I have to inquire in my life about this, because here it's where all becomes personal. You have to look in your own heart and see if there is something that keeps you from being a true disciple of Jesus. And I will end with a quote from Augustine, a theologian from the year 400, which wrote this kind of poem about what it meant for him when he discovered Jesus. You called, shouted, and broke through my deafness. You flared, blazed, and banished my blindness. You lavished your fragrance, I gasped, and now I pant for you. I tasted you, and now I hunger and thirst. You touched me, and I burned for your peace. When I last cling to you with my whole being, there will be no more anguish or labor for me, and my life will be alive indeed, alive because I'm filled with you. Amen.
Thank you, Otti. What a privilege is to have you with us this morning to minister God's word to us. And Romanian preachers are long-winded, whatever. Well, they're used to that because they got a Romanian preacher here. But thank you so much for bringing God's word to us, for challenging word, yet encouraging at the same time as we reflect, we continue to reflect on this theme of discipleship throughout the year from now on. Let me just pray before we sing this final song. Father, we thank you for the privilege to call us, that to come, to follow, to allow you to transform our lives and to make us and mold us and shape us into your image. Thank you that you have not called us to a club, but to a discipleship. That you have not called us to just have a good time, but to pick up our cross. That you have not called us just to sing praise and worship, but also to reflect your glory and power and mercy and grace to others. Lord, will you continue to teach us what it means to be a disciple who make disciples of Jesus? Continue to leave your Holy Spirit at work in and through us. Yet not I, but you, through your Spirit in us. May we respond in obedience to that calling. Thank you for taking the risk and giving us the privilege to work in and through us. And forgive us for the times when we do not reflect your glory, when we are no witnesses. And as we heard this morning, may we become people of hope who spread good news, joy. We thank you that you are a God of joy and celebration and goodness and hope. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Pray that you will bless Otti, his ministry. Pray that you will continue to empower him and anoint him to your Holy Spirit. From his university post to his church and pastoral duties, to his international calling and ministry that you've given him, to the family where he lives and works and loves. I pray for him and Camellia, for David, his son. We thank you for them. We pray that you'll continuously bless them. Bless them as your disciples, as your children. Lord, may we continue to serve you and love you and become disciples who make disciples. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
What gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hope, my can sing, all is mine, yet no I, but through Christ in me. Night is dark, but I am not forsaken, for by my side the same. I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and he was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been sing, I am free at Lord, but through Christ in me. With every breath, I long to follow Jesus, for he has said that he will bring me home.
Be careful then how you live, my brothers and sisters, as disciples of Jesus Christ, because the one that is in you is greater that is in the world. Make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, be filled with the Spirit of God. Encourage one another, serve one another, and follow Him obediently. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, and the peace of God and His love and His grace will follow you for the rest of your lives. Amen.